Lockdown has got us all thinking about things we might want to do once life feels more normal again. So whether you've been thinking about taking a camping trip or giving your living room a makeover, or like us, you've got yourself a greenhouse after discovering a passion for gardening during the lockdown, well, PayPal Credit can help you bring those ideas to life. Use PayPal Credit to buy online wherever PayPal's accepted and pay over time. Find out more at www.paypal.com/UK/credit. Subject to status, UK residents only, terms and conditions apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation, Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Ooh, 4 minutes after 12, and it is indeed Thursday, and it is Mystery Hour, your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. So if you've got a question that needs an answer, you know what to do. If you hear somebody else ask a question to which you happen to know the answer, well, you know what to do. 03456060973 is the number that you need. I will take a moment because the period of lockdown has seen an awful lot of people discovering this programme or being able to listen to it more often than they can during more normal time. So I will take a moment today just to run you through the rubric of this feature, which is designed mostly for fun, albeit that it ends up being quite enlightening and informative. Please don't think that it's po-faced or in any way too serious. We even have comedy sound effects. That should make it clear. It began life as a way of filling an hour on an election day when you're not allowed to talk about politics. But so successful did it prove in the dim and distant mists of time that it's been on the menu pretty much ever since. And it began life as the radio equivalent of what were very popular newspaper and magazine features at the time. And this actually is almost pre-search engines. That's how old I am. Where you would write into a newspaper and say, where does X come from? Or why do we do Y? And then a month later, someone else, or a week later, someone else would write in with the answer. And that's really all it is. So it can be anything. The qualifications you need to answer a question are just knowledge. So when I say, what are your qualifications? You don't have to, like Lily in Brighton, say, well, I'm afraid it's only an undergraduate degree, James. You could say, I just saw it on the telly last night. Or you might be staying in Brighton, actually staying at Brighton, at that university in Brighton. You might be the professor of the public understanding of science, who regularly rings in to the programme as well. Oh, he's very busy at the moment. He's off being a TV star now, Professor Howe, you know. You're not obviously allowed to Google anything, so that makes a mockery of the whole process. So this is simply just a sort of celebration of conversation and education, or illumination, okay? That should pretty much cover it. The rest you can work out as we go along. If you are supremely qualified to provide an answer, if, for example, we get a question about, a bridge and you built it or designed it, then you may get the highest accolade that British Radio can offer, which is a Ray Liotta, voiced by the Hollywood idol of the same name. Someone on Twitter the other day was recalling the time Chris Evans rang in under a false name and then moaned afterwards about not getting a Ray Liotta. In retrospect, I probably should have given him one. 7 minutes after 12 is the time. Hugo is in rugby. Hugo, question or answer?
I've got a question for you, James. Nice to take my call.
Well, you're very welcome. What's your question?
My question is, when were birth certificates first introduced? And I'm only asking the question is because I was going through some stuff that my grandfather left to my dad. And my dad, would you like to come and see? Well, your grandfather left for us all these boxes.
Yes.
And I couldn't find anything of my great-grandfather.
Oh.
I found his birth certificate for my grandfather, but not for my great-grandfather. So when were they first introduced and replaced?
In a specific country, or do we want to know the first birth certificate?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm from Portugal.
Yes.
So it relates the question, but I believe it went out nearly the same time nearly everywhere.
It would kind of wouldn't it? It would knock along fairly quickly because once one country had a way of keeping track of the population, other countries would want to as well.
Good question. What?
It's a great question. Yeah, it's a lovely question. I mean, I shall try and get you an answer. So, when were birth certificates first introduced? It doesn't really matter where, does it? There might be a problem. They might have had them in like ancient Sumeria.
Well, I heard.
And then
they
didn't have them for a few hundred years, and then they came back in sort of Enlightenment era France or something like that. I don't know.
Well, I heard before that people used to be registered in a church before they were registered to the state. So that's what I'm wanting to know.
Well, a baptism certificate certainly is a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, exactly,
but I don't know if it was compulsory. You'd need to be baptized
I believe it was, though, because in Portugal, 90-odd% of the population was Catholic.
Of course.
So, yeah.
Right, you're on.
You,
I love it. Well done, Hugo. Great question. When were birth certificates first introduced? 03456060973 is the number that you need. 9 minutes after 12 is the time. Steve's in Southgate. Steve, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
We've got a problem with the family.
It's a radio phone-in, mate. I mean, I don't have many qualifications.
Sorry, buddy.
That's all right.
I think the longest bridge is in the on the Keys in the US. My son says it's in China.
Okay.
My wife says it's in Finland.
The longest bridge in the world.
Yes.
Do we have any defining criteria here? Because
it's got to be from one to one, isn't it? One to the other.
But not from a landmass to a small island, and then from the island to another landmass. That wouldn't count. That would be two bridges.
No, that's Boris.
That's two bridges, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The proper.
I think
proper
it's. Bridge. I don't know why. Just in the back of my mind, and if I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I'd not go with this answer unless I'd already banked the money. But I think China, for some reason, in the back of my mind. But the longest bridge in the world. We shall find out for you. I like it, Steve. So what was it? China for son, America for dad, and Finland for mum?
And the Keys.
America. So to award the prizes. Thank you, Steve. Joe is in Coventry. Joe, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on, mate.
Why do motorways have numbers, and why are they not numbered in the order they were created?
I think they were numbered in the order they were created, weren't they?
Were they?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's answered my question then.
It would be a bit weird to give them Christian names.
No, but I thought M1 wasn't the first motorway created, was it?
I think it was. Do you know, actually, something's happened here, Joe. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
But this is the only rule we ever had on Mystery Hour was that we wouldn't take questions about roads and motoring. There's been some sort of coup in the production office that we'll get you an answer, but I do think that's mildly interesting now. But when I was a younger man, certainly 10 years ago, I thought all questions like that were the very definition of dull. And we'll find out. But Joe, you're on the board. Many thanks indeed. Producer now suggesting she forgot, which has a touch of the Gavin Williamsons to it. Mike's in Greenwich. Mike, what would you like to say?
Hi, James.
Question or answer, mate?
Question, James, please.
Carry on.
It's a rather trivial point, but rather annoying.
Go on.
Every time I open a bottle of Cava, champagne, or something which requires that kind of pressure, the wire mesh on the top releases after 6 times turning. And that's 6 times whatever you open. Is that
mean the twisty bit, not the cork?
No, the twisty bit,
all right.
Is that a regulation? Is it the same company? And rather annoyingly, a friend of mine, Angela from New Zealand, told me a few years ago, and every time it opened now, I have to count to make sure it's 6 times.
Well, I imagine that is actually tested to be the optimum number of twists, because it would, if you had more twists, it would take more time on the production line and you'd need more metal. If you had fewer twists, you'd blow your cork unpleasantly and unexpectedly. So I imagine that 6 is actually scientifically proven to be the most, the lowest number of twists you can have with a guaranteed success rate of keeping the cork in the bottle.
That could be true, yes.
I don't know who else would know the answer to that, do you?
No.
Well, we'll try and find out. I was getting ready to poo-poo your question because I thought you were talking about twisting the cork 6 times to get it out of the bottle, in which case clearly you'd have taken leave of your senses thinking that was some sort of unavoidable constant. But the twisting of the metal cage is a lovely question.
Yeah.
You're on.
Thank you.
No, thank you. I like that. And it's true with Prosecco and champagne, is it? Because I only drink the posh stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Everything. Even like cider, sparkling.
What about baby sham? Baby sham? Have you had a bottle of baby sham lately?
Haven't tried.
Well, you haven't lived. 13 minutes after, it's pomaine. We used to call it pomaine when I was a kid, which was like Perry, I think. Is it always six twists? The problem with that, come here a minute, I'll give you one of the top secrets of radio. The problem with that is no one listening to this programme will ever forget that. That is now filed in your memory banks in a way that you will never be able to remove. And if you don't believe me, just wait until you next open a bottle of... I suppose if you never, ever, ever uncork a bottle of fizzy wine or non-alcoholic champagne or whatever it may be, then this theory is untestable. But I don't think I will ever be able to open a bottle again without counting the twists. Now, for good or for ill, I'm just telling you the little magic sometimes of knowledge and how it gets into our minds. 03456060973 is the number you need. Waleed is in Slough. Waleed, question or answer?
Question for you, James.
Carry on, mate.
Hopefully one that you benefit from as well.
Go on.
So,
really? Yes.
Let's see. I shouldn't, because I'm bald.
Yeah, well, I'm not far behind you, Waleed. I'm not far behind you.
There you are. So for at least a few years, you might be able to benefit from it. Shampoo and conditioner bottles.
Yeah.
Shampoo bottles opens upwards. A conditioner bottle opens downwards. Question is, why?
Really?
You love it, don't you?
Well,
now this is embedded in your memory bank, and next time you go and have a shower...
Yeah, you're all right. Wind your neck in, all right? I'm in charge. Are we 100% sure about this?
110%.
Well, it's not true of mine. We've got Tresemme in the shower at the moment. Big bottles, one white, one black, and they've both got the lids on the top.
That is actually true about Tresemme. Right, let's leave Tresemme aside. Apart from that...
You can't leave Tresemme
head
aside.
And shoulder, no, even
what
head
sort
and
of a monster back. Are you? So, OK, in some cases of the same
in
brand...
In most cases.
And it has to be the same brand, the same manufacturer, the shampoo and the conditioner made by the same people.
Herbal Essence, I'm bald, yeah, just considering. But I've got a beard, so I use shampoo and conditioner.
That's nice.
But Herbal Essence, top... of the shampoo is the cap, bottom of the conditioner is the cap. I'm telling you, it is a theory, and there's a reason behind it. We just need to work out why.
No, I'm with you. It's obviously got something to do with the fact that you use conditioner after you've used shampoo. So, no?
Could be.
Do you know, you think you know what it is? Keith thinks he knows what it is, really.
We're getting there.
We are. All right, I'll put it on the list, all right?
Always appreciated.
Well, no, I appreciate it too. And you've made me feel a bit ungroomed now. I don't think I've ever conditioned my beard.
There you are. Now you can start.
I will, and I'll always think of you when I do it.
Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, that's a little awkward.
This is LBC Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
18 minutes after 12 is the time. Hugh has just texted to ask why I have got Theresa May in my shower. It took me a while to understand what on earth you were talking about, Hugh. I thought you were indulging in some sort of sick voyeuristic fantasy. But, of course, Theresa May, shampoo, conditioner. So, quick recap. Why, I think, is obvious when you think about it. Oh, Waleed getting me into trouble here. I should have been able to knock that one out of the park. Untested. Keith's theory is completely correct. It must be. But you're going to have to wait to find out what it is. Why do many brands of shampoo and conditioner have the former with the lid on the top of the bottle and the latter with the lid on the bottom of the bottle, if you see what I mean? Why do all bottles, we've not heard any dissenting voices on this, to all bottles of fizz that involve a caged cork, so you know the twisty cage on the top of the cork, are all tightened to the factor of six. There's six twists on every bottle. Why? I think I answered the motorways question, did I? Or did I not? I mean, are motorways named in order? Okay, so there's an easy round of applause there for someone, if you can get through, which would be a bit tricky at the moment. What's the longest bridge in the world, and when were birth certificates first introduced? Brian is in Altrincham. Brian, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
Line up that round of applause.
Go, oh, get ready. Keith, that's fighting talk, mate. Get your finger ready. Go on.
Motorways are numbered the way they are because they roughly follow the A-class road that goes to the same place. The M4 follows the A4 down to the West Country and South Wales. the A1.
So the A roads might have been named in order that they were built, but the motorways definitely weren't. They were named because they were reflecting the A road that they were relieving, so to speak.
The M2 runs down through Kent. Yeah, and 3% of Portsmouth.
I'm going to stop you there, Brian, because, I mean, there's 62 or something. How many are there? Do you know off the top of your head?
Oh, no, loads.
What are your qualifications?
I'm a truck driver.
That'll do nicely. Have one of these.
Cheers.
Take care. Great work. 03456060973 is the number you need if you can answer any of the questions I just asked. I just reminded you of. We can cross off the motorways. Or, indeed, if you have a question of your own. Vicky's in Wimbledon. Vicky, question or answer?
It's an answer for you, James.
Fantastic. Carry on.
It's the what you wanted to know about births and registration and so on.
When was the first birth certificate?
1837.
How and why?
How and why? Because that's basically when it became mandatory for people to record their births, certainly in the United Kingdom. And that's the records have been held in the vaults and the powers that be in it, all register offices of the country. And basically, we obviously register people right until today, obviously within 6 weeks of a birth.
And prior to 1837, there was no, apart from in churches.
Not to my knowledge, no.
Because each individual church would keep a register, wouldn't it? Because
that's
when you read
right, and the
some
churches were responsible for doing that. That's right. The civil side of things came into being in 1837.
Oh, what a perfect answer. Qualifications?
Sorry?
What are your qualifications?
I'm a registrar.
And do you have? I mean, do we know what other countries did or not? It doesn't matter. You've got a round of applause.
No, I can't speak for other countries, but I can certainly tell you about the UK.
What's the punishment if you don't get it done within 6 weeks? If I turn up 7 weeks?
Basically, yes. I think they are looking at sort of like fining people, because obviously we had to relax things during the COVID debacle and whatever. But it should be within 6 weeks of 42 days of a birth happening. I think it's down to the local authority, because it's the local authority that actually handle that side of things. So it depends what council, what borough you're in, as to what the council line is, really.
Perfect. And have one of these on me.
That's very nice of you, James. I'm loving the show. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you very, very much. I'm just harvesting the quality of calls. 22 minutes after 12, of which Vicky was a great example. How many years have I been doing this job? This has never happened before. It says that Anthony's in England. That's good to know. Anthony, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Would you like to be a little bit more specific, or are you phoning in incognito?
No, I'm calling from Richmond, I told him.
I don't want people to know where I am. Don't tell him your name, Pike. What's your answer? Which question would you like to answer?
Just regarding the cage on the champagne cork.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to a vineyard, and they said that there's two manufacturers that make them, one in Italy, one in France.
Right.
And the reason why it's six turns is so they can look the client in the eye when they're opening the bottle.
Knowing that it's six?
Yeah, no.
So they don't have to look down. They can count six and twist.
Yeah, and they're not there for too long to make it uncomfortable.
So it came up in a question, did it, on a tour of a vineyard?
It did, yeah.
I like this. I don't know if I buy it, though, mate. I believe you. I believe that's what you were told at the thing.
Well, that's what I was told.
Yeah, but that would apply to any number. You see, that theory would, that answer would have worked with any number. That doesn't explain why it's six. That just explains why it's always the same.
Yeah, but there's only two manufacturers that make it, so I'd assume that they'd probably have to keep the machinery as the same for everyone.
Yeah, that might be a more, I mean, coupled together, you've covered almost all of the ground there. There's only two you can buy, and they both do it in the same way. Plus, you need to have the same number on every bottle so that people can open them without having to look down. I'm going to give you the round of applause, but don't be amazed if that gets.
So I win a prize.
You get a round of applause, and you can count yourself lucky. Seriously, but if someone specifically six might involve a slight embellishment to your answer, but it's certainly you've done enough to get this.
That's as much as I could tell you. I can't tell you exactly what six, but thank you very much.
No, great work. Was it a nice little tour of a vineyard? I'm always intrigued by things you can do on holiday that we haven't done yet. Would you recommend doing that, or is it a bit
sane? It's really nice. It's just outside Milan, so it's really nice, and the weather was good, and the setting was really nice. I went with a work trip, so yeah, it was a good trip.
Happy days. 25 minutes after 12 is the time. Thank you, Anthony. Edward is in Dover. Edward, question or answer?
It's a question.
Yes.
There's an 18th century law which allows a man to pee in the street.
Can we say micturate, please, Edward? This is a family programme with children listening. It allows, a man to micturate in the street.
And but he has to shout release at the top of his voice three times. I was wondering if it was still activated now.
Well, it clearly isn't, because you can get arrested for micturating in the street.
You?
Yeah, of course you can.
Oh,
well, not least for indecent exposure. But are you? I'm not even sure. Are you sure that was true, even in the 18th century?
Yeah, absolutely true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember Kenny Everett saying it on one of his shows.
But he was a professional comedian and disc jockey. Well, he wasn't a historian.
But a highly intelligent man, of course.
Yeah, but I don't think this is true. I don't think you had to shout release.
Well, I think it needs to be researched. And I think you'll find
I'll tell you what. You go out and do it. In front of a police officer, and then let me know how you get on.
No, I'm not going to do that, James.
That's science. That's peer-reviewed science, that is. You go out, micturate in the street, attract the attention of a friendly bobby, and let me know how you get on. Of course, it's still against the law, you silly sausage. 20, round of applause for me. Were you thinking of exercising some editorial judgment there, Keith? We'll have words after the programme today. Beth's in Glasgow. Beth, question or answer?
Hi, James. It's an answer, please.
Hi, Beth. What a wonderful phone line. It's almost as if you're in my ears. What would you like? Which question would you like to answer?
I'm backing up the previous caller's answer to the cage on a sparkling wine or champagne bottle.
Okay.
And it is indeed. It's more so for a service standpoint. So that when you're engaging with customers, you can count it in your head that you've got six turns and you're ready to pop the cork.
But why six?
And I agree with you. Why is it six? But I know that they're all six.
So you're not. All you've done is, I mean, this is outrageous.
I know.
You're just trying to get a second-hand round of applause without adding anything to the conversation.
I thought I'd get the first round of applause, beat me to it.
Well, I can only apologise. You shouldn't have been put through to the programme, because you've added nothing to our understanding of this issue at all.
But I will recommend, you were saying that you had not been out to a winery for a wine tour. Get down to the south of England. We've got beautiful sparkling wine there.
Do you know, I am such a doofus. I've been.
Okay,
but
well,
we didn't tour the actual vineyard because, well, you can guess what happened. We got there, had lunch, and drank a lot of wine.
And then yeah.
And then didn't go on the tour. What would it have been called? Is it somewhere in Devon, I think? What was a famous one in Devon? No? I tell you what I had the other day. I had English champagne that had come from...
Okay, so I need to stop you there.
Well,
so
I know it's not champagne, but okay. It was sparkling wine that had been...
It's English sparkling wine.
Yeah, but it was method. It had been.
It's made in the same method.
I know. I'm just trying to think where it came from. It might have been the Isle of Wight. So my brother-in-law's a vintner, and he brought a bottle over, and very nice it was too, very biscuity. It had no sugar in it. They sometimes put a little bit of sugar in champagne, I believe. You know more about this than I do, but this one was very dry, very biscuity.
Very good.
I'm going to give
Drink
you a,
more of it.
I'm going to give you a round of applause for allowing me to show off my wine critic.
Thank you, James.
Faculties.
Thank you,
but
James.
Don't ring me again to repeat things that other callers have already said. Absolutely outrageous behaviour. 29 minutes after 12 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. So there's an open goal. I thought the motorways question was easy, although I think we've got a stewards inquiry on the horizon after the news headlines. Certainly looks that way. We've got a stewards inquiry coming in from Walthamstow, coming in fast from Walthamstow. But the open goal that is here, really, is the shampoo conditioner one. It's one of those ones where as soon as someone tells you the answer to the question, you'll go, oh, yeah, of course, it's obvious. That's exactly what happened when Keith told me the answer to the question. And the question is, why is conditioner in bottles that often have the lid at the bottom, so to speak, while shampoo has the lid at the top? We also want to know what the longest bridge in the world is, but we've done all the others, I think. We've done the twist the cage, although Y6 is still there. Birth certificate's done, motorway's done, albeit with the stewards inquiry on the way, and the cage twisting done as well. It's 12:30, and Dominic Ellis is here now with the headlines.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
33 minutes after 12. Hold on to your horses, Alan, because Luke's going to nail the conditioner question, and then we can get our switchboard back. I probably shouldn't point out when there's a really easy round of applause up for grabs, because it melts the switchboard. So do not ring me about shampoo. if you're just tuning in, press rewind and work it out for yourself. Do not ring me about shampoo, all right? No more calls about shampoo. Luke in Bromley, the pressure's on.
Hello, James.
Hello, mate.
It's a two-part answer.
Oh, they're my favourites.
Yes, I shouldn't add that it's not all conditioners. No. Some are.
You're damn right, it's not. I've got one correspondent on Twitter having a meltdown over the suggestion that it might be. No one said it was all conditioners. If we only need one example for the question to hold water.
Sure. Well, the first part is it's to do with actually knowing what you are grabbing with your eyes closed on the basis that you have shampoo in your hair and your eyes closed.
Correct.
So you don't grab the shampoo again.
Yes.
The second part, which is the primary reason, is the thickness of the substance. It's called gravity.
The viscosity. The viscosity. Isn't it?
So,
it's not a word I get to use very often. I hope I used it correctly. I sense from your silence you're not familiar with it, or I've used it incorrectly.
Well, it's basically gravity. Let's just keep it simple, shall we? It's a thick substance.
Yes. It's very viscous.
Oh, you're doing well.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so therefore, you can't be, you know...
So you want it backed up, so to speak, why they made those ketchup bottles with the big flat tops, as opposed to the glass bottle ones, which you have to sort of smash up, beat them up to get the ketchup out. Whereas if you put the plastic one with the big flat top, it's all ready and waiting at the nozzle for the moment of entry.
It never worked with Marmite, did it? I never liked the squeezing Marmite.
I'm not a Marmite man. I've got to be honest with you. And I did notice that they tried to introduce the squeezy one, but I think this programme is controversial enough without bringing Marmite into proceedings, Luke. What are your qualifications?
I own a cleaning company, and we deal with substances, cleaning chemicals and all sorts of things, so the bottles are very important.
That'll do nicely. Round of applause for Luke. It's 12:35. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Alan is in Walthamstow. Alan, question or answer?
It's not a stewardess inquiry, but extra info on the roads.
Oh, okay. Carry on. You've been missold to me, like PPI. It says here stewards inquiry, but you carry on.
I said it wasn't. They just don't listen, do they? Okay. You can't get the staff.
Telling me,
as you keep telling us.
Absolutely. Carry on then.
The first correspondent was right in that the motorways are named in line with the roads, but the roads are not actually numbered radially around London.
Well, all the way up to Scotland?
The ones go north, northeast, the twos go east, southeast, the threes go south, southwest, etc.
How interesting. Like up a clock, then?
Yeah, up to the sixes go north, you know, like East Midlands.
Yeah.
And then the sevens, eights and nines are in Scotland.
Well, I never. Qualifications?
Long-time dispatch rider and van driver and lifelong map gig.
Well, round of applause. It's a life well spent, Alan.
I think so.
Oh, I love
that. Thank you very much, James.
No, thank you very much. I'm not reviewing my lifelong antipathy towards roads-based questions. I'm merely casting this question as an exception to my otherwise reliable rule. Thank you very much. That's exactly what Nezreen Malik was talking about earlier when she described people who can never admit they were wrong. Luckily, I've written a whole book about being wrong, but I'll tell you about that later. Kieran's in Leeds. Kieran, question or answer?
I've got an answer for you, James.
Let's go.
The world's longest bridge question.
Yes.
So that is the Danyang Kunshan Grand Bridge in China. It's part of a high-speed railway. I believe it runs between Beijing and possibly Shanghai, but don't quote me on that.
That doesn't matter, mate. China is the answer. You've nailed it.
And it's about 100 miles long, I think. Yeah.
That's a fantastic. So mum wins. I think the family squabble had mum with... No, son with China, mum with Finland, dad with America, and China is the answer. What are your qualifications?
Well, I wrote a quiz on the world's longest and largest during the lockdown for my friends.
So you actually researched this one specifically? What else was on there? You've got the longest bridge. What else was in there? Can you remember?
We had bridges, yeah. Statues, trees, you name it, we had it. Beaches. It didn't go down well, and I don't think it will resurface again.
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe some people aren't as cultured.
So your friends it was pearls before swine territory, Kieran. That's what you're telling me. Pearls before swine.
Well, this is it.
Okay.
You can only try.
Yeah, well, tell me about it. You should try presenting this programme someday. Seriously. Would you like a round of applause?
Well, only if you think it's worthy.
It's definitely worthy. China is the answer. Say the name of the bridge again, because it made me smile.
It is the Danyang Kunshan Bridge.
I don't know why, but I just think that needs a needle eye po on the end of it. Danyang didn't need a needle eye po. Round of applause for Kieran.
Thank you.
So great qualification, that one. I actually wrote a quiz on this during lockdown. So you need to get some new friends, mate. They don't appreciate you. How bizarre. You wait years for one Kieran to come along and suddenly there's two in a row. This one's in Newport. Kieran, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on, mate.
So if a crime is committed on an airplane, who has jurisdiction?
What are you planning, Kieran?
Nothing yet.
Well, it's a very odd question to ask if you've got nothing in your on your to-do list that you're just seeking to finesse and clarify. So, well, you mean depending on where the plane is?
Yeah. So is it the...
Because it could be over any one of 10 countries on a fairly normal flight, or it could be over international waters.
Yeah.
Or it... Yeah, okay. I actually have no idea. That's a really good question. I can't believe that's never come up before. We've had a lot with international. We've probably done it before. My memory's not what it used to be. But that is a first-class question. If you commit a crime mid-flight...
Yeah.
Because in some countries, it would be breaking a law. And in another country, it might not be. There must be a jurisdiction that is the sky, mustn't there? There must be rules that govern the sky.
Well, I tried to research and it's just like 10 different answers, so I thought I'd throw it out.
Nothing doing. I love it. Okay, you're on. Why, or rather who, has jurisdiction if a crime is committed mid-flight? Favourite text of the day, quite possibly from Grant Marshall, who's just tweeted me to say, I've been on that bridge, James, and I didn't even notice. That's the one in China that's really long. Dan's in Thurrock. Dan, question or answer?
'Tis a question.
Carry on.
Right. Is there anywhere in London where the young people still speak with what sounds like a Cockney accent?
Yes.
They're like sort of Green Chill in the 80s.
Walford? Yeah. Albert Square.
They don't. They speak a bit posh, don't they?
All things are relative, aren't they?
They've all been to drama school.
What do you think Grange Hill was populated by? Real school children?
Well, yeah, technically they were, weren't they?
I can answer this question, actually.
Yeah.
And I mean, in terms of, you mean like a sort of, all right, Cockney Sparrow, Barbara Windsor type accent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bermondsey.
Do they?
Yeah, definitely, because I've got friends from there.
Because... most of these kids, they've got this sort of new way of speaking.
I don't come on my show, start grinding your axes about the younger generation, Dan. I know exactly what you're talking about. They've got a kind of in it thing going on, which bears no relation whatsoever. They sound about as Cockney as Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins. But children in Bermondsey still have the salt of the earth, born within the Bow Bells type accent.
Okay. Are you going to give yourself a round of applause then? So the answer is Bermondsey.
Well, but Bermondsey is one example. So to be honest with you, I could have got... See, this is why you have to think your questions through before you ring in. I could have got a round of applause just for saying yes. Because the question was, is there anywhere in London where young people still grow up with what we might call a traditional Cockney accent? I could have just said yes and taken the round of applause. But I'm going to give a round of applause to my producer because she is a Cockney from Bermondsey.
She's a Cockney from Bermondsey?
Yeah.
Is that within the earshot of the Bow Bells?
Well, yeah, on a clear day.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So this, a round of applause for Ava, please, Keith. Well played, Dan. Chris is in Kingsdean in Hampshire. King's Clear, even, in Hampshire. Chris, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
When you do a coin toss, you go like heads and tails.
Yeah.
Obviously, the head is referring to like the head stamp on a coin. What does the tail stand for?
I like that question, but it may not be as interesting as we expect, because it may just be the opposite of head.
What, you mean like a rat, like a head and its long tail?
Yeah, head at one end, tail at the other.
Why would you associate that to a coin?
Well, because the head is there, so the head is a head. What's the opposite of a head? A tail.
I suppose you could also say feet, then, couldn't you?
Yeah, but, I mean, heads or tails has a ring to it, and there's a song. I'm going to put it, it's going on the board.
Because we're
expecting the original coin had a coat of arms on the back of it that featured the tails of a donkey or something. I don't know, but I suspect it might not be that interesting. So we will we'll put it on
Thank
the board.
Thank you for saying I'm not interested.
No, the question is interesting. The question is interesting, and I'm sure the questioner is interesting. I'm merely warning you that the answer might not be. That's all. I don't know why I'd bother. I'm looking out for you, Chris. I don't want you sitting there all excited thinking you're going to get a nugget of first-class knowledge. It might be really boring, all right?
It's fabulous, and I'm a great fan of the show. Thank you.
I'm a great fan of you as well. 12:44. Why tails? Heads is obvious. You toss a coin. Hey, we haven't been using that analogy. Like, the one that explains everything, Donald Trump and Boris Johnsonian. And they toss a coin, and they shout heads and tails, and then when it lands, they claim they've won. Can we remind me tomorrow to hit people over the head with that analogy? Thank you. Tim's in Chichester. Tim, question or answer?
Hi, James. Answer.
Carry on.
Got an answer with a guy who phoned up and about having a wee in the road.
Oh,
he said about shouting release.
Yes.
Well, actually, it's true, but you do not shout release. It's I was a bus driver back in about 87. And it was in the initial training. One of the little nuggets of information was that as long as you shouted relief, three times, relief, you could relieve yourself against the, I think it was offside rear wheel.
Yeah, no, so I've heard that before. That the same with taxi drivers. And it certainly was true at some point. And maybe it is one of those laws that has persisted, but the question wasn't about that. The question, he thought he was allowed to just do it willy-nilly. Sorry, that wasn't deliberate.
Yeah, good one. No, definitely, I can't see that. No way.
No,
I was also in the police, and he would have got arrested. But
What for? Indecent exposure?
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to give you a round of applause. Go on.
Thank you. I actually called about 30 years ago, and I think it was Tommy Boyd I spoke to. He had exactly the same question.
Yeah, all right, mate. Everyone's a critic.
Yeah.
I want
that applause.
Well, you can't have any applause now. You've basically just called me a derivative radio dinosaur who's ripping off other people's ideas.
Have I talked myself out of an applause?
Yes.
No, please.
Oh, God,
no.
Yes, it's outrageous. No one's ever asked questions on the radio before. What a ridiculous accusation. They gave him a round of applause.
There you go.
Thank you, James.
No,
thank you. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, after all. It's 12:46.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
12:49 is the time, and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Some breaking news for you. Hashim Abedi, the brother of the Manchester Arena suicide bomber Salman Abedi, has been sentenced to a minimum of 55 years in prison for the murder of 22 people in Manchester in 2017. That's a minimum of 55 years in prison. We'll probably talk about some of the attendant issues tomorrow, and I'm sure colleagues will be discussing them in the course of the day. But that particular atrocity really touched people in ways that even some other comparable atrocities didn't. And I think we'll catch up tomorrow with Fegan, shall we? With Fegan Murray, the mother of Martin Hett. Tomorrow. It's 1:50. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. And we return now to the rather lighter territory of Mystery Hour. Elaine is in Bow. Elaine, question or answer?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Well, you all right?
I haven't done anything yet. Why are you giggling?
I always giggle. No, listen, Cockneys, there's still loads in Bow, Bethnal Green, East London. It's not like we're all posh now.
I know
we've got the trendies that live here, but...
The hipsters.
There's not... You know, we're all still here, and there's plenty of pubs... Plenty of places. Go down the Roman Market, the Pine Mash Shop, loads of cocktails.
Did you speak to my producer before you came on air?
Yes, of course.
Well, you're peas in a pod.
What?
You're peas in a pod. There's no shortage of Cockneys on this programme. The real deal. But the question wasn't... He only wanted a yes or a no. So when I said Bermondsey, that was just one example.
Oh, no. See, I didn't realise that. But what I said to him was as well, one of the ways, right, the only way to really know whether you're speaking to a Cockney is Cockneys only have 25 letters in their alphabet. They never use the letter H at the beginning of a word.
Are you having a laugh?
It's impossible. No, I'm not having a laugh. They never use H at the beginning of a word. And that's how you know it's true Cockney.
How dare you? Yes, you're absolutely right. I love it. I love that. And your qualifications are...
I was born here.
Round of applause for Elaine.
Great. Please.
Elaine in Bow. I mean, because the old test, I don't know where it comes
from. Thank you so much.
Hang on, don't go yet. It was the boat.
No, I've done
Yeah, I know go you on. Have, but I just want to have a bit of a, you know, Cockney banter. That's all right. Bow is the home. I mean, Bow is the lodestar. Bow is the epicentre of Cockneyism.
It certainly is.
Yeah. And is it? Yeah. If you can hear the bell from where you were born, you can claim to be a proper Cockney.
Well, yeah, almost. I mean, I was born in Bow.
Inbo. It doesn't get any more Cockney. Doesn't get any more Cockney than that. Thank you, Elaine. That was a perfect answer. And quite reassuring for those of us who are terrified of change. Wayne's in Barnet. Wayne, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on, Wayne.
So an answer to the question about a crime being committed on an aircraft and the jurisdiction.
Yes.
The answer would be, so say, for example, an aircraft is en route to Bangkok.
Yes.
And a passenger is disruptive and maybe assaults somebody. That passenger would be arrested in somewhere like Bangkok, which I wouldn't have thought would be too pleasant an experience. And they would be dealt with in Bangkok. And if need be, if members of the crew had to be witnesses, they would be flown over to Bangkok.
For the court case. So wherever, so you commit a crime on a plane, you are held to account by the law of the land in which you land.
Sort of. So whilst you're at altitude, you're actually, the law is upheld by the crew in the name of the commander, which is just a posh name for the captain.
Yes.
Which
is just a posh name for the pilot.
Well, in a sense, yeah, yes. In a sense. So say if the crew have to possibly restrain somebody, which you know does happen quite often, the law is being upheld in the name of the commander until a police officer can get to the aircraft. So it's probably better for the criminal if they're heading to London rather than somewhere like Bangkok.
Yeah, clearly. Or, of course, you could have an emergency landing as well if it's a particularly heinous crime.
Absolutely. I mean, if it's very, very serious, it depends on the airline and certain procedures, because the airline's procedures usually take precedence as well. But if it's worthy of a diversion, absolutely. But often it's not possible to divert. So if you're over somewhere in sort of Asia or over an ocean or something like that, the law has to be upheld in the name of the commander until the aircraft gets to its destination. And then they're dealt with by the police there.
Qualifications?
I work for an airline. I'm one of the managers, flying crew, and I also train cabin crew as well.
That's fairly comprehensive. I think it's earned you this.
Thank you, James.
No, thank you, Wayne. Thank you. Take care. It's all kicking off, I've got to tell you. James, you have just insulted all of us Southeast Londoners. We are, capital letters, not Cockneys. We will leave that to East London and them West Ham Muppets, writes Paul from Bromley. Oh, dear. Controversial. It's worse than Brexit. Tom's in Sheffield. Tom, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
Why is clockwise clockwise?
As in, why does
as
it...
In,
yeah.
As in, yeah, as in we refer to, well, we're going to go around this direction, we're going to go clockwise, we're going to go anti-clockwise. Obviously, it comes from our watch face.
From the clock.
But where did it come before the watch?
Well, it must be a sundial.
Well, this is what I thought, but does that change... I might be really ignorant here, but does that change from where you are in the world, or...
No, I wouldn't have thought so. It's in the sun's in the sky, wherever you are in the world.
Yeah.
In the southern hemisphere, would a sundial go the other way from how... I doubt it. But it doesn't matter anyway, does it? Because obviously whoever invented the clock face got it from a sundial where he was. So even if it was different somewhere else in the world, it then got adopted. And it's not like you go to Australia and your watch goes backwards.
But what was it then perhaps called sunwise?
What?
As in, we call it clockwise.
Yeah.
But before the clock, would it have been called sunwise?
Well, let's not get carried away with the finer detail here, Tom. I've given you what I think is a fairly convincing answer to your original question, without going into the semantic origins of clockwise and sunwise. I mean, it wouldn't have been called anything before it was clockwise because there weren't any clocks. Sundial-wise doesn't mean anything. And you wouldn't have run around a track in a certain direction because of what a sundial did. Clockwise just fits a lot of... It's also a rather good film. It just fits a lot of... fills a lot of gaps, doesn't it? So I'm going with sundial. You can take it or
very
leave
good.
It. You're going to take
very
it?
Very good. I'll take it.
I'll take it. Another round of applause. No, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Cheers, Tom. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Callum's in Truro. Callum, question or answer?
It's an answer to Stuart's inquiry about the champagne.
Oh, Mark, you know, as you say the word champagne, Sheila Fogarty floats into the room. It's just uncanny. It's like we script this stuff. What would you like to say, Callum?
It's about the pressure in the bottle.
Yes, this is the sort of answer. So you're going to specifically tell me why six, not why they're all the same.
It's six because the pressure in the bottle is six. The atmosphere in the bottle is pressurised six times more than the atmosphere on the Earth. So each turn is to prevent the cork from popping out. because the pressure in the bottle is six times more than it is outside.
So if it was five, we'd have a genuine risk of pops being corked unwantedly.
Yeah.
Corks being popped even. What are your qualifications?
I sell wine and champagne to restaurants.
I don't know physics enough to... It sounds unlikely to me, what you've just said. Why would six twists somehow reflect six times difference in pressure? A twist each... Yeah?
Each twist tightens it to the point that it holds it in place.
Yeah.
It's why when you start releasing it, you put your hand over the top to stop the cork from coming out straight away.
Yeah, I just don't know. The only bit I'm querying is the pressure in the bottle being six times the pressure outside the bottle. Only because I'm thick, I don't understand that. I don't know what it means.
So the bubbles inside the bottle create a far more pressurised atmosphere.
No, I'm not completely stupid. I'm flipping out. I'm doing a bit of uncharacteristic modesty here. I'm not owning up to being dunce of the week. I know what pressure is. I don't know why twists on a cage would so completely reflect the factor of difference in the bottle. Do you see what I mean? Six.
Yeah.
Just the two sixes seem to be a coincidence to me.
And it's what my boss told me when I signed up for the job.
Now you're getting a round of applause whether you like it or not, Callum. This is for you. Well played.
Thanks very much.
No, yeah. Very good. I like it. That is good enough for me. And Jason in Wincanton, which what will probably be the final contribution to the programme. Is it going to be a question or an answer?
It's an answer, James. Just your tossing coins, the heads and the tails.
Yours.
I have one in my pocket every day. I use it every day.
Yeah. Why, are you a referee?
No, but they are fantastic when you're buying and selling things to decide on a price you're going to negotiate for.
Oh, I see what I mean. You're a bit of a wheeler. You're a wheeler dealer.
Yes.
Carry on.
I used it an hour ago when I was buying a machine. We couldn't decide on a price and we tossed and we ended up with a price.
Love it.
So
what's the origin of tails? I know what the origin of head is. Where does tails come from?
Well, it's always used to be picked as an easy one as an animal. Because if you were selling cows, you generally have a cow coin.
Oh, so the coin for the tossing was not the coin for the currency back in the day?
No, nothing to do with currency.
Oh, how
interesting. I have a set now. I've got a gold set now that is the five, the big five in Africa. I've got a lion, a rhino, an elephant, and a hippo.
Well, that's absolutely fascinating.
So that's all it is.
Well,
it came from different villages, whatever it came from.
What are your qualifications?
Wheeler and dealer.
Wheeler and dealer. Round of applause for Jason. Well, hang on a minute. How much do you want this round of applause, Jason?
I'd love it.
Well, I don't know about that. Make me an offer, mate. Make me an offer. give him a round of applause.
Thank you.
A lovely day. Thank you for a wonderful show. The calls are always great. And today, they just felt even more so than usual. We'll do it all again tomorrow from 10. It'll probably be downhill from there. But here, I'm uphill, if that's the correct turn of phrase, is Sheila Fogarty.
Feels that way sometimes. Thank you very much indeed, James. Now, should the man convicted of the Manchester Arena bomb, who's just been sentenced to 55 years, be forced to attend court and hear victim impact statements? And as North West leaders urge Matt Hancock not to put Oldham back into lockdown and thoughts return to work and schools, what's happening in your house? Households is where new infections are in the main. Are you still washing the shopping? Or have you and your family given up? And today, pupils in England, Wales and Northern Ireland get their GCSE results. And it looks like a bumper year with top grades up by almost 10%. BTEC students, though, are still waiting for their grades after a U-turn, another one, by Pearson, who run those exams. Has all of this proved yet again that we don't know how to do depth of education, and we certainly don't know how to value technical education?
On your radio, on Global Player, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.